My subject, of course, Jesus Christ, the prophet of God. Just to start out, a prophet, by definition, was simply a spokesman of God. He was one who would speak forth the words of God. There's sometimes the overlaying things in the prophet, and we need to understand this here because we don't get the idea that all he was just a spokesman for God. But in being a spokesman for God, he would also at times be talking about the future, but then of course he would talk about things past as well. So in his telling about what God's will was, he in nature entails some of the things about telling about the future. Vine said that a prophet was one who speaks forth or openly, a proclaimer of a divine message, denoted among the Greeks an interpreter of the oracles of the gods. But to show you that we need to be careful here, one writer wrote this here. He said, no hard and fast distinction can be drawn between prophecy as forthtelling and prophecy as foretelling, since very frequently God's future mode of action on account of Israel and her oppressor sins is foreshadowed. It is impossible to declare the will and purpose and judgment of God without reference to the future. The prophets, it says, they threaten, and every threat, of course, involves the future. They may be distinguished as prophets of will and woe, and both of these terms imply the future. And so in that very idea, we see that the idea is there that when they would speak forth the words of God, many times that they would be talking about future events or things that would happen in the future. Another writer, he wrote this here, related to the function of a prophet. He said the prophets had a practical office to discharge. It was a part of their commission to show the people of God their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. It was their duty to admonish and to reprove, to denounce prevailing sins, to threaten the people with the terrors of divine judgment, and then to call them back to repentance. They also brought forth the message of consolation and pardon, Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2. So simply put, a prophet was one who spoke for another. And a very classic example of this is found with Moses and Aaron. You recall that when Moses stood before God there at the burning bush, and God spoke to him, God was talking about what he was going to have to do. And you recall that Moses said, well, you know, he said, I just don't have the voice to do that. And Moses made up all kinds of excuses, as sometimes we will do. And he did not want to go forth and talk to Pharaoh and talk to him about what God wanted him to do. But God said, well, he said, I've got a remedy for that. God said that we'll have someone speak for you. And he appointed his brother Aaron to speak for him. As a matter of fact, we find in Exodus chapter 4, verse 15 and verse 16, and thou shalt speak unto him, and put words, listen, in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of as God. Exodus 4, verse 15 and 16. And then in Exodus 7, verse 1, it says, the Lord Jehovah said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. And so he was simply saying that Aaron thy brother will be your spokesman. He will be the one that you put the words in his mouth, and he will speak forth those words. Of course, those words ultimately came from God. And so it was that he was simply one who spoke for another. But of course, there was the idea there that there were also false prophets. You recall that Baal, being a false prophet, he had his own false prophets. We're told in 1 Kings 18:22, then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, says, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets, he said, are 450 men. And though Baal was evil, and his prophets prophesied things that were evil in nature, nonetheless they were prophets in the sense that they were speaking forth words that Baal would tell them to speak, or words that would be in agreement with what Baal would be teaching. And so they were called prophets as well. Of course, false prophets, as we realize. But notice, if you will, in 2 Peter, in chapter 1 and or chapter 2, rather, verse 1 and verse 2, it says, "But there will be false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken evil of." And then you recall in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, that John wrote to try the spirits. That is, it says, "Try them, because many of false prophets," listen, "many of false prophets have gone out in the world." Friends, there's false prophets today. Now, not in a miraculous sense that anybody's been inspired, but in the same sense that they are speaking forth words of someone else. I declare unto you this, that there are those out in the world who are speaking forth the doctrine of Satan. And they are prophets for Satan. But not only that, there are those in the denominational world who are speaking forth the words of their forefathers, who are simply nothing more than prophets in that one sense. They are speaking forth the words of the founders of those particular denominations. And not only that, but there are those in the church. There are those in the church, and sometimes, brethren don't want to admit this, but there are false prophets in the church even. Those who are taking the doctrine of men, and they are telling brethren in the church these things, and they are speaking forth words of damnation unto men in the name of the Lord, or supposed to be in the name of the Lord. Of course, it's not in the name of the Lord, because it's not by His authority. But friends, we need to be aware today that there are false prophets even among us today. I wrote an article not long ago about false prophets, and the capture of it, "Is there any false prophets today?" And the conclusion of it was this, that according to some men, you could not say there are any false prophets at all. At least by their own actions and whom they would fellowship and whom they would take in their bosom, they would simply take their arms and take everyone in if they could. And so in their own idea, there would be no false prophets at all. Friends, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches very clearly that there are false prophets. And we need to be aware that there are such out there. There have been those, both ancient and modern days, who have claimed to be prophets of God, and of course, we have proved that they're not. Some of them are more renowned are Muhammad and Joseph Smith. Of course, Joseph Smith is probably the most renowned one because of the fact that we hear constantly on TV today about the other testament, or the companion testament, that is the Book of Mormon. Well, Joseph Smith was the founder of Mormonism. That is, he was the father of it, you know. But there are a lot of tests that are to be given to a prophet. And seven of these, in particular, are listed in the book, and I'd like to note those very quickly with you. These are tests of men who claim to be prophets of God. Number one, the prophet spoke only by revelation or inspiration. Number two, the prophet of God was conscious of his work, that is, his prophetic work. Number three, the prophet's commission was always accompanied by confirmation from God. Number four, the true prophets spoke only in the name of Jehovah. Number five, the true prophet's message was always, now listen, here's a crucial point. The true prophet's message was always in harmony with all previous revelation from God's Word. And number six, the quality of the message of the true prophet was easily discernible over that of a false prophet. Number seven, many times the seventh test of prophecy was of the moral character of the prophet. And of course, when we start seeing these men, we realize that they are not men of that nature. Moses wrote concerning the test of a true prophet. He said, "When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him." Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. As one can clearly see, if you study Muhammad and study Joseph Smith and their works, you'll clearly see that their works were never spoke by inspiration. There was never any revelation given to them. They never had anything from God, because their works were always, always in contradiction to what the Bible said. You take the Book of Mormon and you stack it up against the Bible, and you'll find a book that is totally in contradiction with the Word of God. And we need to be very careful about today. I wish today that somehow or another we could gather up the resources to fight against that terrible ad that's on TV about the Book of Mormon being a companion to the Bible. And come out with something that will show others that the Book of Mormon is a fraud. That it's not from God at all. That it's from a false prophet. And if we can show them that, I'm convinced that many people would not be taken in by those words. The words they spoke were never said in harmony with previous revelation from God's Word. And furthermore, these men's character, their moral character, was always in question. Especially that of Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith was not a good man. Joseph Smith was a drunk. He was a wife beater. He did all kinds of things. And even some have suggested that he was involved in even some murder. Joseph Smith was not a good man. And he was not the kind of man that God would have used in revealing things to him. But you'll notice that Jesus, he applied all these tests himself. Or at least you can apply all these tests to him. As you go about and read about Jesus. Jesus, what he said, was always in harmony with all previous revelation. Jesus' character was of the utmost. There was no sin found in Jesus at all. He was always of an upright person, always doing right, and always speaking forth the words that his Father gave him. He was truly a prophet of God. You know, as you think about this, and you think about the words of men, here, this is a very interesting thing. If a prophet speaks from God, which that's what a true prophet would do, a prophet speaking from God would speak words from God that are eternally true. That is, whatever that prophet would say has always been the truth. Now, it may be that God did not reveal it under the old law. That is, what we have in the New Testament, God revealed it under the new law, but that truth was eternal. That truth is always there in the mind of God before the foundation of the world was ever created. So that truth always being there, it cannot change. This Bible, my friends, the truth, it cannot change. Even today, the words that Jesus spoke are the same today, yesterday, and forever. They do not change. And though modern day man may come along and say, well, we want to change the times, yet the Bible remains consistently true and one. But notice this. The works of men. You go back and look at the works of men. And you go back and look at their creed books. I have creed books, a whole gob of them. Can we say that? A whole gob of them? I have a whole gob of them, you know, in my library. And about this much on the shelf. You know how that much is. And books from way, way back in the turn of the century. And those books are not the same as the books that they write today. You know why? Because they're changing. They're always evolving. You take the Catholic doctrine, what it was 100, 200 years ago, it is not the same as it is today. And the reason is because it's changing. You take the Book of Mormonism, and you put it back there years ago, and look at today, and it's changing. Constantly, over and over and over and over, these things change. But friends, listen. The true prophet and his words do not change. They remain constant and true always. And we need to stick by those words. The Hebrew writer declared this about Christ. To be a prophet when he wrote in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, 1 and 2, God who surrendered in times and divers manners, spake in times past and the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, listen, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Yes, Christ is truly the prophet of God. The Old Testament declared that Jesus Christ was the prophet of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 through 18, Moses wrote these words, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. Of thy brethren like unto me, unto him shall you hearken. According to all he thou shalt desire the Lord, thy God in Horeb, in the days of assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." As Peter preached on the porch of Solomon, he quoted this very passage of Scripture and applied it to the Lord in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, where he said, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God rise up among your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." Then Luke recorded also in Luke 7, verse 37, where he said that this is that Moses was said unto the children of Israel, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up to you unto your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear." We understand that this prophet would be like unto Moses in this respect, in that God would communicate his message to the people through a prophet, just as he had delivered the law through Moses. Just as he had put his words in the prophets of old, just as he put his words in the mouth of Moses, so it is that a prophet would be raised up and God would put his words in his mouth and he would speak forth those words unto his people. And that prophet, of course, is Jesus Christ. Peter wrote, "For prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God," it says, "spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. One can clearly see that the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18 and 19, had its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ. In our Lord's discussion, Jesus stated this, "Do not think that I will accuse you of the Father. There is one that accuses you," he said, "even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses," he said, "you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. For if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" John chapter 5, verse 45 through 47. When we come to the New Testament, the New Testament also pictures Christ as being a prophet. Throughout our Lord's ministry, our Lord would make reference, either by implication or by direct statement, that he was a prophet from God, that he was the prophet from God. Notice in John 7, verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." So it is that my doctrine doesn't come from me, but it's coming from him that sent me. That is, it's coming from God. God is putting his doctrine in Christ, and Christ is speaking forth that doctrine to the people. That's what a prophet did. And therefore, Christ, by implication, says that he is a prophet from God. Later, he wrote this here in John 8, verse 26 through 29. He says, "I have many things to say, and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall he know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things to please him." Once again, the very idea that God is putting those words in the mouth of Christ, and Christ is speaking forth those words. Jesus, when speaking about himself in Matthew 13, verse 57, said, "A prophet is not without honor in his saving his own country and his own house." And as a prophet, of course, Jesus was a teacher, and he was a supreme teacher. The author said in John 7, verse 46, "Never a man spake like this man," talking about how great a teacher that the Lord was, because he spoke forth the words of wisdom. He spoke forth words of truth. He would go back to the old law and prove all the things that are about him. It's not like the people of his day who would talk about all their notions, about all their traditions and things about nature. But Christ went right back to the source and said, "Here is what God says." And so they said, "Never a man spake like this man, with great power and great knowledge." Christ foretold of events that would all be fulfilled. He foretold of his own betrayal and who it was that would betray him, even of Peter, whom the Lord said would deny him three times that night before the cock would crow. I've always been amazed about that, haven't you? Just hours into the future, and Christ tells him, "Peter, three times you'll deny me tonight before the cock crows." We call him a rooster back home. But three times before the old rooster crows, he says, you're going to deny me. And here old Peter says, not I, Lord. Though all men, he says, would do it, I would never do it, you know. And can't you just see Peter saying that? And then they come and take the Lord away, and he begins the denial process three times within just a very short time. I would have thought that a man could be more conscious of what was going on and could think back, well, the Lord said I was going to do it and not do it. But yet Peter denied him three times anyway. That just shows you that Christ knew, because he was a prophet, what Peter would say. It was not some guess. He knew what Peter was going to do, and Peter did exactly what he said he would do. He also foretold about his own death, his burial, his resurrection, and of course, of his ascension. He also foretold the coming of the Holy Spirit. He foretold the destruction of Jerusalem, and even gave minute details and such like, all of which were fulfilled. He also foretold about his final return, event still in the future, event that's still coming. When it's coming, we don't know because the Lord didn't tell us. But we do know this, that it's coming. And we better be ready for its coming. All things which Jesus foretold would happen have happened, with the exception of those last things about the last times of his second coming. In the same message that God had given Christ, Christ, of course, in turn gave to his apostles. In John 17, verse 8, it says, for I have given unto them the words which thou hast given me, and they received them, and have known surely that I came not from thee, or came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And so Jesus says, the words that you gave me, he says, I've given those to my apostles, the apostles. And they will speak forth these things, and they will be God's mouthpiece. Not only did Jesus claim that he was a prophet, but even the apostles, they acknowledged he was a prophet. The people of his time, they believed that he was a prophet. When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked a great question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say they are John the Baptist, and some Elijah, say they are Jeremiah. And he said, or one of the prophets. Matthew 16, verse 13 and 14. The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazarene of Galilee. John 21, verse 11. In John 21, verse 46, and when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him, it says, to be a prophet or for a prophet. You recall that in Luke 7, chapter 14, verse 16, that there was a young man who had died, and as the Lord came by, he saw the briar, or the casket, we would call it, and asked him to stand still, and he told the young man to arise, and the young man arose, of course, and the Bible says there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen from among us, and that God has visited his people. Of course, after his resurrection, one said concerning the Lord's death that Jesus of Nazarene was a mighty prophet in deed and word before God and all the people. Luke 24 and verse 19. The Samaritan woman at the well, she said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And after Jesus had fed the great multitude, 5,000 of them, plus men and women, the men who witnessed the miracle said, those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is the truth that a prophet should come into the world. John 6 and verse 14. He was called a prophet by the people in John 7 verse 40. And in John 9 verse 17, it stated that he is a prophet. And as Peter preached after the healing of the lame man, he said in Acts 3 verse 22 and 23, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God rise up from among your brethren, like unto me, him shall hear in all things whatsoever he say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Without a doubt, those living in the lifetime of our Lord recognized and acknowledged that Jesus Christ was a prophet. And I realize there are some who did not recognize that. There are some who would not admit that. The Jews of today, they would not admit that. They might tell you that he was a good man and that he did some good things, but they would never admit that he was a prophet from God. And I submit to you, there's a lot of others today who would not admit that as well. But friends, you cannot deny what the Bible plainly teaches. The Bible over and over and over claims that Jesus Christ was a prophet sent from God. He was a prophet that was rejected in his own hometown, Luke chapter 4, verse 24. He was a prophet who was to die in Jerusalem, Luke 13, verse 33. Our Lord's entry into Jerusalem underscores his office as a prophet. And prophecy was fulfilled by his coming to Jerusalem in the manner that he did it. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and John 12, verse 14, and verse 15. He prophesied of the colt and where it to be found, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Luke 19, verse 28 through verse 25 or 35. But also understand this, and I think really this here gets at the main thrust of the whole lesson. Understand this, that because Jesus Christ was the prophet of God, that he is God's exclusive, that means only, right? He is God's exclusive spokesman for today. That is, that there is no one else that we ought to adhere to. There is no one else that we need to go back to. We don't need to go to some modern day Johnny come lately. I guess that's what you know about that. Prophet, you know. But we need to go back to God, to the Bible, and listen to what Jesus says by the words of God. Because he is indeed God's exclusive spokesman. Moses wrote concerning Jesus this same thing in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18 and 19. And notice this phrase, okay? He says that I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. This is what Peter said in Acts 3, verse 19 through 26. It's also in Stephen's great and wonderful sermon, or his defense, he said the very same thing. This is that Moses was said to the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you from your own brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear. Acts 7, verse 37. And Christ is a spokesman for God. He is one who will listen to in all things. As the Hebrew writer said, God who sundry times and divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made all the worlds. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. At the transfiguration of Christ, God said this while they were sitting there looking on, seeing what was going on. And there appeared Moses, Elijah, prophet, and Christ was there, and they wanted to build three tabernacles, and here's what God said. He said, while he yet spake, behold, a great cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Hear ye him, not someone else. We don't need to go to the prophets of the day or anyone else, but we need to go back to Jesus Christ and realize that God put his words in the Lord's mouth, and those words are written down for us to hear and for us to understand. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. It is only Jesus who has the power or the authority, and he is the only one that we are to be guided by today. Jesus said this in John 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The same, he says, that I have spoken shall judge him on the last day. The words, these words, they're going to be our judge on the last day. Not what some man says, but the Lord's words, the Bible, the New Testament. When we stand before God in the day of judgment, this book is going to be opened up and we're going to be judged from these words, the words of our Lord. And I don't care what the Book of Mormon says. The only thing I need to know about the Book of Mormon is that it's false. And I can prove it by this. The only thing I need to know about creed books of men is that they're false, and I can prove it by this. Here's my guide. Here's what I need to hold on to. The words of Jesus. Because only those words can save my eternal soul, and only they can save your eternal soul also. I hope and pray that you'll remember this, that Jesus Christ is the prophet of God for today and for all times. Thank you very much.